Welcome all of you to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Ramachandra Prabhuji on this call to teach us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 4.16.24. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yes, Mataji, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for joining the call, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time, Prabhuji. And thank you for enlightening us on this topic. I want to hand over the call to you now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरयः नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टुकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः.
So we will be reading today canto 4 chapter 16 verse number 24 and 25. 24 verse number 24.
एषो अश्वमेधान् शतम् आझार सरस्वती प्रादुराभाव्यत्र हार्षद्यस्य हयं पुरन्दर शतक्रतुश्चरमे वर्तमाने.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: At the source of the river Saraswati, this king will perform 100 sacrifices known as Ashwamedha. In the course of the last sacrifice, the heavenly king Indra will steal the sacrificial horse. Text number 25.
Eshaswa sadma pavane sametya sanat kumaram bhagavantamekam aradhya bhaktya lavatamalam tat Jnanam yato brahma param vidanti.
Translation: This King Pithu will meet Sanat Kumar, one of the four Kumaras, the garden of his palace compound. The king will worship him with devotion and will be fortunate to receive instructions by which one can enjoy transcendental bliss. The word vidanti refers to one who knows something or enjoys something. When a person is properly instructed by a spiritual master and understands transcendental bliss, he enjoys life. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.54, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Shochati Na Kamshati. When one attains to the Brahman platform, he neither hankers nor laments. He actually partakes of transcendental, blissful enjoyment. Although King Prithu was an incarnation of Vishnu, he nonetheless taught the people in his kingdom to take instructions from a spiritual master who represents the cyclic succession. Thus one can become fortunate and enjoy a blissful life even within this material world. In this verse, the verb vidanti is sometimes taken to mean understanding. Thus, when a person understands Brahman, or the supreme source of everything, he enjoys a blissful life.
Om Jnanit Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namo Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirbishesha Shunyavadi Ashchata Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhar Shrivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers of this call to give me an opportunity to serve you all. And I would also like to thank all the participants on this call. So, in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm sure it's already been explained in the previous verses and the previous chapters. We are discussing about King Prithu Maharaj, who is a Shaktivesh Avatar. He's an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. And we know the purpose of his incarnation, why he is incarnated. He's appeared at a time when entire humanity is in total turbulence. There's a lot of disturbance. And what's the reason for this disturbance? They don't have a leader. A leader who knows the responsibility of being a leader, what it means to be a leader. He's the son of King Vena, and you must have heard in the previous chapter and in the previous verses, how King Vena being dishonest, being immoral, being unethical, to this degree that the Brahmanas actually killed him. They were forced to kill him. They didn't have any option. And why did they kill him was just for the benefit of human society. And then we saw that after King Vena was killed, again for humanity, what did the Brahmanas do? They churned the body of Vena, from which appeared Prithu Maharaj. And we've seen Prithu Maharaj's purpose of appearing in this world is primarily to appease humanity, because of the disturbance that they've gone through. And he's done so much. We read in the previous verses how he flattened the planet Earth so that there can be good vegetation. He milked the Earth so that there can be a lot of milk. So everything that he is doing as a leader, primarily he is doing it for the benefit of humanity. He knows that what it means to be a leader. The prime responsibility of a leader, he should have this understanding that I am just a representative of the supreme leader. Who is that? Krishna, Bhagavan. And what is his prime responsibility of a leader? The prime responsibility of a leader should be to facilitate how every living entity, not only human beings, be it the trees or be it the animals, be it the aquatics, whoever it may be, how I can facilitate these jivas going back to the spiritual world, attaining perfection. This is actually the responsibility of a leader. Unless he is not fulfilling this responsibility, he is failing. And we see Prithu Maharaj doing this. till this verse, till the last verse, we saw him doing so many things. And in today's verse, in these two verses, we are going to discuss three very, very important principles. And now these principles, I'm sure a lot of you all may have heard also. So we'll also discuss what's the purpose of them discussing it. Very important that this is what all Srimad Bhagavatam is about. In the first verse that we read, we see, and in these verses, if you all see, it's all in the future tense that Prithu Maharaj is going to do. And we will see in the next chapter him doing it. So Prithu Maharaj, it is said in the first verse, that is verse number 24, will be performing 100 Ashwamedh Yajnas. Why is he performing Ashwamedh Yajnas 100? Now, for some of us who know what it means to perform one Ashwamedh Yajna, you know, for us sometimes just to organize one small festival in a temple, be it a Rath Yatra or Janmashtami festival, or how much logistics, how much energy goes into it, arranging for funds and resources and, you know, media and promotions and entertainment. So much management goes into just organizing one small festival, which might be attended by some hundreds, some thousands. In when I was in US, I think most of the festivals in most of the cities that were attended were in thousands. I don't think any festival may be attracting more than 3,000-5,000 people. Here in India, without promotion, we get 15,000-20,000 people. So now let's think of an Ashwamedh Yajna. In Ashwamedh Yajna, it's not only that he's going to call all the locals, all the sadhus, the rishis, all to this degree that he's going to be inviting all the demigods. And ultimately, this Ashwamedh Yajna is for what? For the pleasure, for the satisfaction of whom? Vishnu, Krishna, for the Supreme Lord. So can you imagine, or rather we cannot imagine, how much effort it takes to organize one Ashwamedh Yajna. Here is Prithu Maharaj going to perform how many? 100 Ashwamedh Yajnas. Why is he doing it? Is he doing it for himself? No. Again, he is doing so that the Lord is pleased. Sam Siddhim Hari Toshanam. At the end of the day, whatever we do, whatever we speak, our thoughts, our words, our actions, ultimately should be for the pleasure of the Lord. And he being a Shaktave Shaktar, he is an incarnation, he is an empowered living entity soul. He knows exactly. So he is performing this 100 sacrifices so that the Lord is pleased. And when the Lord is pleased, then his whole praja will be happy. Not only happy, he'll be able to deliver all of them. That's the driving force. That's what is motivating him into doing this 100 Ashwamedh Yajna. Nothing else. Now comes the important point over here. He has performed 99 yajnas successfully. And he is about to perform the 100th yajna. Now, try to think. One who's already done something 99 times, is what's the difficulty in doing it the 100th time? No difficulty, right? Because it's the same thing you're going to do. You're going to do the same fundraising, same media, same demagogues will come, and you know exactly. The challenges are only in the first, second, third, fourth, maybe fifth time. But after that, you know, things fall in place. So he's performed 99 yajnas. Now he's about to perform the 100th yajna. Guess what happens? Indra comes to know that Prithu Maharaj has performed 99 yajnas and is about to perform the 100th yajna. Now we'll talk about Indra a bit later. We'll talk about him also. First, let us discuss about Prithu Maharaj. So Prithu Maharaj is in his 100th yajna. He's facing challenges. He's feeling what we call vada. Calamities have come. In his 100th, just like, you know, for some of you all, you know, who follow cricket. Imagine somebody has scored 99 runs and just that one run, you know, you score a century and you're glorified, you scored 100.
And imagine if that batsman is out at 99. How painful. How much it hurts. 99. You know, everybody literally prays that let him get his one run and let him get a century. So yes, Prithu Maharaj, in his 100th yagya, what happens? He's facing some obstacles, some challenges, some opposition. Now who? This is Prithu Maharaj, an empowered representative. It's the incarnation of the Lord. So imagine if this is happening, even the incarnation of the Lord is having to go through this, facing challenges, opposition. And what is he trying to do? Is he doing anything for himself? No. As we said initially, he's doing it for humanity. He's just doing it for others. There's no personal motivation of his at all. He faces opposition and challenges. A very, very important lesson for us to learn. This is the nature of the material world. This is how the material world has been designed, my dear friends. We need to understand. Because if Prithu Maharaj is going through this, and we'll see some more examples, then we have to think for ourselves. Because we also go through these situations, right? Challenges, oppositions, calamities come in our lives also. And they just intensify more when we become more serious in our devotional life, correct? So Maya feels challenged, and then she really bombards us with more challenges, more calamities and oppositions and all that. So, as I said, this is what the material world is about, and we'll just understand why does it happen. So before we understand also, we saw like it's happening with Prithu Maharaj. See, this is what Bhagavatam is all about. We see example after example, so many examples. Similar example is of Amrish Maharaj. Amrish Maharaj did this 1 year of Ekadashi, Nirjal Ekadashi. We did Nirjal Ekadashi a few days back. I'm hopeful some of you all also may have done, right? And we did it only for 24 hours. And, you know, towards evening and night, we are waiting, you know, tomorrow morning, and our whole plans are going on, what we are going to eat and what we are. Here's Amrish Maharaj, who's done Nirjal Ekadashi for 1 year. And again, what was his motivation? Why did he do the 1 year Nirjal Ekadashi? He didn't do it for himself. He didn't do it for his family or someone. No. It said he did it so that the whole benefit could go to his praja, to the citizens. And we know what happens at the end of that 1 year, that whole episode of Durvasa Muni coming. And imagine, this Amrish Maharaj who has done this 1 year Ekadashi, here he is in a situation where this monster is standing in front of him. Durvasa Muni has created a monster. We are not going to go into the details of the whole pastime because of time, and I'm sure a lot of y'all have heard it. But try to understand. Here's this monster standing in front of Amrish Maharaj. What is his fault? He could just stand up and say, what wrong did I do? Is this monster standing to kill him? And then we know the whole pastime, how it ends, you know. And we'll come back to it later on when we conclude this understanding of obstacles come natural. In the material world, it's natural. To expect calamities and oppositions not to come is unnatural. It's foolish. When the Supreme Lord comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's come to deliver all of us. He's giving the holy name to everyone. He is being cursed by a Brahmana boy. The Brahmana boy is so angry, and he's taking his Brahmana thread and cursing the Lord. May you never enjoy the comforts of household life. A young 24-year-old, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is only 23, 24 years then. He was cursed. Now, for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was a blessing. He took it as a blessing. From our perspective, let us see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared, the Lord has appeared to give us the holy name, to facilitate, to establish the Yuga Dharma. And what is coming his way? He's being cursed. Right? And then again, coming down, we see in the lives of our Srila Prabhupada. I'm just trying to show you the consistency, whether it's the Supreme Lord who's coming, whether it's pure devotee, his Shaktivedanta, Srila Prabhupada, whoever it is, it's consistent. Srila Prabhupada, we know, challenges after challenges. We can just have a whole class on Srila Prabhupada's life. Imagine a 70-year-old person who's left everything, left Vrindavan, and here he is in New York in the dead of the night. Now, most of you all know in America, now we are talking of 1965, we are not even talking of today. Today, New York is at least 65 times more clean than what it was in 1965. In the dead of the night, here's Srila Prabhupada standing on the road, and here's this young, you know, blown-off person, high on drugs, standing with a deadly weapon, wanting to kill Prabhupada. Now, Prabhupada could have just, you know, wrapped up everything and said, okay, I'm done, I tried, and he could have just taken the next ship and next flight and come back. He didn't do that. So consistent, the point I'm trying to make. Again, we see in Prabhupada's life, we can cite so many examples. You all know about the Jew temple, that whole episode. How that owner tried to cheat Prabhupada. And today we see that whole Jew temple, it's huge, and you know, it's such a beautiful manifestation of Prabhupada's dedication. I'm not giving up. So the point that I'm trying to make is that these challenges, oppositions, calamities will come. It's not that now we become devotees or we are serving Krishna and, you know, we are representative of Krishna that, okay, now everything is going to be very halabala and it's going to be rosy. No. So why? This question comes to my mind. Now why? Here we are trying to do everything for Krishna. We are trying to serve Krishna, serve his representative, serve Prabhupada. Why then do these calamities come? There's a reason. It's not that when these calamities are coming that Krishna is having a very fun time and he's really enjoying, yeah, my devotees are good. No, there's a reason behind it. And this reason has been explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam by one devotee who has gone through all these calamities. Who's gone through a stream of calamities all through her life. I'm sure whom you all can guess who I'm talking about. Kunti Devi. What type of vipadas she went through? What type of calamity she went through? From the time she was married, she was young, till the time the battle happened, her life was only, you can say, calamities personified. All the calamities that we can think of. Imagine every day she just gets the news, her one son is being attempted to kill today, somebody tried to poison Bhima, then the five sons who were in this palace, it was set up upon fire. Can you imagine how painful it can be for a mother? A lot of y'all are mothers. I'm sure y'all can understand it well. She's gone, and then the whole Mahabharat battle happening right in front of her. She's seeing her one set of sons fighting with another sons. The battle is over, and now her sons, Yudhishthira Maharaj has been established king. So now it's, you know, everything is good. So, you know, as they say in English, and then they lived happily ever after. So she could have said, yeah, now we're going to live happily ever after. Krishna, thank you so much. You know, we are so indebted to you. How we, you know, this is our whole jargons. We tell people, oh, thank you so much. I'm so indebted to you. And she could have just told that. But here she is standing in front of Krishna. Krishna is leaving Dwarka and going to leaving Hastinapur and going back to Dwarka. He's saying, look, now my work is done. I have established dharma. I have demolished all the adharmic characters. And now I'm going. My duty is done. At that time, Kunti Devi offers some very powerful prayers to Krishna. And I'm sure you all know which prayer I'm referring to. She tells Krishna, I want something from you. Krishna says, what do you want? You are my aunt. Whatever you ask, I have to give you. I will give you. What does she ask Krishna? Please understand this. She's telling Krishna, Vipada Santata Shashva Tatra Tatra Jagadguru. Oh Jagadguru, oh Krishna, I want one thing from you. What? That all these vipadas, you know, these calamities, these challenges that we were just talking about, and all these calamities that I've gone through all through my life, she doesn't tell Krishna, please, I want to forget them, you know, because they are too much in my head and they won't make me sleep peacefully. She doesn't say, make me forget them. Guess what? She says, I want those calamities to come back into my life again and again and again. Not once. Shashwat. Shashwat means what? Permanent. I want them to keep coming. So now somebody might respond, you know, it seems because Kunti Devi has gone through so many calamities. So what happened? You know, you get a mental breakdown. She's gone through so much trauma. So uska balance break ho gaya. You know, her balance of mind has broken. That is why it seems she's asking for such weird requests. No! She gives a reason. She doesn't just say, I want those calamities to come back, you know, so that I'll be glorified that I'm such a glorious dude. No, she gives a reason. What is the reason? She says in the next line, Bhavato darsharam yat syad. Because she says, when these calamities come, my dear Krishna, I can see you. I can remember you. I can be absorbed in you. With feelings. Otherwise, you know, some of us might say, no, I also remember Krishna every day. I also chant Hare Krishna every day. With feelings from the heart. She says, Bhavato darshanam yat syat apunar bhava darshanam. And what happens when I'm remembering you, I'm absorbed in you, I'm thinking of you, I'm chanting your holy name? Apunar bhava darshanam. Apunar means again. Bhava darshanam. Darshanam means to see. Bhava, this material existence, I don't have to see. I don't have to go through the challenges of this material world, birth, old age, disease, death, and, you know, all these calamities and adhyatmik kalesh, adhibhautik kalesh, and the list just goes on. When? Because when these calamities were coming, Krishna, I was taking total shelter of you. In the beginning, I cannot take total shelter. This is Kunti Devi. She's teaching us. So, why do these calamities, challenges come in the devotee's life? We need to understand that. And when they come, like now it's coming Pithu Maharaj's life. Okay, now let's come back to Pithu Maharaj. So Pithu Maharaj is challenged. So what to do? So when the 99th yagya, 100th yagya is not happening, Indra is creating so many obstacles. He's just going on stealing the horse and doing so many things. So at that time, long story short, you all will be hearing in the future, Brahmaji comes and he tells Pithu Maharaj, stop it. Don't do the 100th yagya. You will be more glorious not doing the 100th yagya. With 99 yagyas, you will be more glorious than if you did the 100th yagya. So let go. And how did Pithu Maharaj react, respond? That is most important. It's not that Pithu Maharaj stood up and argued with Brahmaji. No. Why? Why should I give in? Why not Indra? He's doing the wrong. He's the wrong. I'm doing it for the pleasure of the Lord. You should explain to him. No. Pithu Maharaj is teaching us a very important lesson. He just gives him. He says, yes, my Lord. Yes, Brahmaji. I will not do the 100th yagya. He wants peace. This is a very important instruction for us because we get into these situations when we are opposed, we are challenged. What should our stance be? Give in. Sometimes in giving in, we can win the battle. More important than winning the battle is winning the war. If he got the 100th yagya, he would have won the battle but lost the war. What is the meaning? That it wouldn't have been pleasing to Krishna. We should always be thinking that I'm standing, I'm fighting, I'm opposing this person or this situation. Ultimately, what is going to please Krishna? If my stepping back, if my giving in is going to please Krishna, I'm ready to do that. Somebody might say, oh, Prabhu, everybody will say, you are a fool, you did so much, and it's okay. Better than pleasing the whole world and whole world glorifying you and Krishna not being pleased, is Krishna being pleased and the whole world, you know, befooling you. That's the point we need to understand. That's what Srimad Bhagavatam is all about. What it means to be a devotee. Pithu Maharaj just gave him. Right. I won't do the 99th yagya. I won't do the 100th yagya. And he moves on. So that was the first part of this episode that we are talking about. Pithu Maharaj's obstacles and how he responds to those challenging situations. Now let's come to Indra. He's the second part of the equation, right? Indra, we just heard that he steals the sacrificial horse. Why does Indra do that? The minute Indra hears that Vipu Maharaj has already performed 99 successful yagyas, now he is about to do the 100th yagya. The minute he does the 100th yagya means what? Means Prithu Maharaj qualifies to get my seat. He is qualified now to become Indra. And this sends a very great sense of insecurity into Indra, which leads to envy. He becomes envious of Prithu Maharaj. Now we're going to talk about this part a bit. And as I was saying in the beginning, see, a lot of things that I'm talking about, most of you all have heard. I don't think I'm talking anything new that you all have not heard before. And now we'll discuss about envy also. You all have heard so much about envy and this sense of insecurity and all. So why are we repeating? You might say, Prabhu, you don't have anything new to talk about. Why do we repeat the same? You know, if you all have seen Prabhupada, Prabhupada's talks were so repetitive. We have to keep reminding ourselves. Unless I don't keep reminding myself I have diabetes, the probabilities are so high that someday I've forgotten I have diabetes, so I'm just going to go and start eating all the sweet meat. I'm going to stop taking my insulin 30. Again, the diabetes is going to hit me back. Similarly, we have to keep refreshing and reminding ourselves of these diseases, the disease condition that we are in, or at least I am in. I cannot speak for others. Indra is envious of Prithu Maharaj. He's got a sense of insecurity. It's this sense of insecurity which develops, manifests into envy. So let us briefly get into talking about what envy is, how does it come about, and what are the causes, and the cure. That is the important thing. Because problem, everybody can talk. You can talk, we can have big people talking so much about all the problems. But the problem is that we don't have a solution to the problem. So then finally we'll talk about solution of envy. So envy, as we know, there are six anarthas: lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion. Of which one is envy. And we know that all these six anarthas are represented by six demons, and envy is the manifest, the personification of envy is Shishupal. So we'll talk about him later on, but let us first try to understand what is this envy? What is the root cause? Where does this envy start? Where's the origin of this envy? And it is explained in the Shastras that the main reason for a jiva to be in the material world is envy. And as long as he is envy, he stays in the material world. He comes into the material world because of this envy, and he stays in the material world as long as he is envious. The origin of this envy is not in the material world, rather it's in the spiritual world. Where this jiva, when he sees Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, the supreme controller, everything centered around Krishna, this jiva wants to be in the center. And that's a diseased condition. And then not out of hate, out of love, this jivatma is sent, as we can say, to the hospital of this material world. To get cured of this disease, of trying to be like Krishna, or what to talk of like being like Krishna, being even greater than Krishna. And even Krishna should be subordinate. See, this is the example of Pundarik, right? In Srimad Bhagavatam only, you will see. Pundarik, he was not only envious of Krishna, but it was to a point where he even wanted Krishna should surrender to me. Finally, he sent a message to Krishna. Hey, Vasudev, you better hand over this Sudarshan to me. It's mine. I am the Vasudev. You are the imposter. Can you imagine? And then we know what happened, right? Krishna comes and delivers him. So this is what it means. That when we not only are the origin, as I said, the source is envious of Krishna, but we are, then it expands. It, then we are not only envious of Krishna, this whole envy, it becomes all permeating, all pervading. We are envious of his devotees, we are envious of anybody and everybody. See, if you have something, then somebody will be envious of you. And if you don't have something, and somebody else has it, you'll be envious of someone. That's how envy works. It's a two-way. When you have something, you're so proud of having that, but you don't understand that you're proud of it, but there's somebody else who's envious of it. And when there's something which you don't have and somebody else has, then you become envious of that person. But the origin is for envy to Krishna in some form or the other. Because see, when we are envious of a person, let's analyze. When we are envious of somebody who's more beautiful than me, who's more stronger than me, who's more wealthy than me, who, whatever you can say, who sings better than me. Because we don't have this understanding that this quality of his singing, where is he getting it from? It's coming from Krishna. Krishna says, I am the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam pravartate. I am the source of everything. Everything emanates from me. So when we are envious of the beauty of this person, means we are actually envious of Krishna, because he is getting it from Krishna. When we are envious of somebody's wealth, means we are actually envious of Krishna. This is an extension. Its origin is Krishna. And then, as I said, it expands. It permeates in so many different ways, in different forms. But ultimately, what it is that I want to be the controller, I want to be the proprietor, I want to be the enjoyer. Not only competing with Krishna, maybe I want to be more than Krishna also. See, I'll give you an example. I have two examples. I'll give you both of them. I read, it was recently, I think it happened, this happened last year or somewhere, sometime in the recent past. In Brazil, there was a Miss Brazil contest. And no, it was not in Brazil. Sorry, let me check. It was in Brazil. It's called the Miss Amazon contest. So as you know, in this beauty contest, all these women will come and there'll be first round, second round, third round, and in the final round, you'll have two or three finalists, three left over. And of these three, one is going to be announced, you are the Miss Amazon. So in that final round, there were three women who were waiting to be announced, who's the winner. And when it was announced that this ABC is the winner, and you know, they come and they take a crown and they put it on the head of that whoever is the winner. So when this judge came and he put the crown on this first person, woman who was the winner, can you believe it, the lady who was second or who was going to be second or who didn't get to become first, because she was so envious, she just couldn't accept this fact that I am not Miss Amazon. You know what she actually did? She went and she ran towards this other woman who had come first. She took the crown out of her head and threw it on the stage, and she actually started hitting her and slapping her. This is true. This is a real story. We are not making up a story. I heard somebody told me it's on YouTube also. You all can go and check it. Can you all imagine? Now, some of us might think, yeah, then Prabhu, I am not envious. I don't do like this. Come on, you know. But externally, we may not be envious. In our case, the envy is very subtle. It's not active. You know, I was just hearing one lecture in which it was being explained what's the difference between jealousy and envy. It's a very subtle difference. Both the propensities are same. But jealousy is when it is passive. It's within. And when this same jealousy within, from its passive state, it becomes active. When it manifests externally, you know, when we blaspheme someone or when we do something, that is termed as envy. It's more or less the same. So, in our case, then in case of devotees, you say, you know, Prabhu, we never do like this, you know, we respect everybody. But in our case, the envy is in a very subtle way. We have to ask ourselves, how happy are we when we see some other devotee being glorified? See, just being neutral won't help. You can't say, okay, Prabhu, I don't be happy, but at the same time, I'm not even envious. No. in a very subtle state, it's there. The whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you see, we can talk about past tense after past tense, how devotees, they were happy. They were celebrating when they see, suppose somebody like King Pratap Rudra getting the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Mukunda was, you know, we have that, you know, that whole pastime that after such a long, you know, discussion with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he gets the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees were so happy. They were actually happy. It's not that they were neutral, okay, chalo, achha hai, isko bhi mercy mil gaya, he also got the mercy, good. No. So in our case, it can be in a settled state. In a very subtle way, we don't manifest it externally. Like we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pastime of Gopal Chapala. He just blew off because of his envy for Shivas Thakur. We know the whole pastime, right? What he did, he put that whole paraphernalia of yagyas outside his house just to blaspheme, to defame Shivas Thakur. We don't do that. Right? But then we do it in different ways. We sometimes, you know, talk about other devotees, why he's doing like this, why he's not doing like that, and then how we justify, we are the real well-wisher of this devotee, Prabhu. You don't understand. So we got to be very careful. Because Bhakti Siddhanta Sri Thakur has said that this envy of all these six anarthas that we spoke about, lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, and illusion, it is only this one anartha, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur says, envy, which cannot be used in the service of the Lord. He says all other anarthas in some way can be used. If you have good understanding, it can be used in devotional service. But envy cannot. And Srila Prabhupada, when he was talking about envy, he gives a very nice comparison. He says, this envy is just like a snake. I'll read the exact words what Prabhupada says. He says, a snake can be calmed by sound vibration, by mantras, or by herbs. But the man who is envious is more dangerous than a snake. These are Prabhupada's words. When we are envious of someone. And we see, right? We see in Srimad Bhagavatam also the example of... Give me one. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we see the example of Shishupal. He was so convinced in the Rajsuya Yajna when he was blaspheming Krishna. He could justify it in so many ways that what he was speaking and what he was doing was right. He didn't have the slightest of doubts. Because this is how envy is. When we are envious, we think we are not envious. We are well-being. No, no, I'm not envious, Prabhu. So, first thing, the first cure to envy is to accept that, yes, we are envious. Be it at, even if you are not at the gross level, at the subtle level, at whichever level. Because unless a person does not accept that he is sick, he doesn't go to a doctor. Unless you don't go to a doctor, you don't get the medicine. Unless you don't get the medicine, you don't get cure. So, the first step is to accept, yes, we are envious. The fact that we are in the material world means we are envious. The levels may vary. But as I said in the beginning, the reason why the living entity comes to the material world is envy. The reason he stays in this material world is also envy. Till that time, he will be envious. This is a disease. How to get cured? I know if we are running out of time, I'm going to run through this, the last part. The cure is in the second verse that we spoke about. If we understand and study Bhagavatam nicely and properly, we'll understand. What is the next verse that talks about? What does the next verse talk about? It says that King Prabhu will meet Sanat Kumar, one of the four Kumaras, in the garden of his palace compound. And what will he do? He'll worship him. Who? Sanat Kumar. And he'll worship him with devotion and will be fortunate to receive instructions from him by which one can enjoy transcendental bliss. This is the key. As long as the person does not come to this platform of enjoying transcendental, beyond this material realm, on a higher realm, unless you don't get the higher taste, my dear friends, we cannot give up the lower taste. Param Drishtva Nivartate, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, right? To give up these lower tastes, you have to come to the higher platform. You have to get the higher taste. And how to get that higher taste is being explained here. What will King Prithu do? He will go and he will hear from Sanat Kumar. And Prabhupada in the purport says a very wonderful point. He says, although King Prithu was an incarnation of Vishnu, he nonetheless taught the people in his kingdom and he taught us. Bhagavatam is for us and more than us for me. Unless we don't personalize these instructions, we don't take them seriously. At least that's my way of looking at it. That he nonetheless taught me what to take instructions from a spiritual master who represents the disciplic succession. This is the key. This is the key. Evam parampara praptam. Unless this person does not approach a spiritual master who comes in a disciplic succession and hears from him, gets instructions from him, he cannot get onto the higher platform. Unless you don't get onto the higher platform, in the lower platform, you're just going to be hovering. Today, if we are talking about envy, then it will be lust, then it will be anger, then it will be greed, then it will be illusion, and then it just goes on. The levels just go on changing. Sometimes envy is here, then it's passion, then it's illusion, then it's greed, then it's lust. Just keep going. Transcend. Param Drishtva Nivartate. Unless you don't get the higher taste, you cannot give up the lower taste. And that's what Prabhupada says. You have to hear from a bona fide representative coming from a disciplic succession. What is the importance of hearing from a person who's speaking coming from the parampara? We all know, you all must have heard, there are four sampradayas, right? The Kumar Sampradaya, that is what is Sanat Kumar. The one is the Kumar Sampradaya, Shri Sampradaya, the Lakshmi Sampradaya, and the Rudra Sampradaya. So Prabhupada says that unless one is not hearing from one of these four paramparas, sampradayas, what happens if you don't hear from one of these four sampradayas? There will be no transformation in your heart and in your life. Won't happen. You can keep hearing. Prabhupada used to say, just like, you know, if you hear from them, it's just like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. It's milk. The message is same. They're also talking Bhagavatam. They're also talking Bhagavad Gita. But where's the difference? The difference is no transformation happens in the person's life. No change happens in our heart. Why? I'll give you an example. See, just like in your house, suppose if you have this huge, wonderful, beautiful chandelier, you bought it for $20,000, right? And you have this nice, beautiful bulbs. Now, this chandelier in your hall, it's connected by an electrical wiring all the way down to the main meter, and then the meter is connected all the way to the powerhouse from where the power is being generated. Now, anywhere between the powerhouse and the chandelier, if the connection breaks, what happens? This chandelier does not work. It does not glow. It's just a showpiece, right? Just a showpiece. It doesn't serve its purpose. So similarly, all these four sampradayas that we are talking about are connected to the powerhouse. Who's the powerhouse? Krishna. As long as our connection is not to the powerhouse Krishna, transformation won't happen. Power is not coming now. How will our hearts glow? They're dead, they're black, they'll remain black. This anartha nivritti, the anarthas that we are talking about, won't be eradicated. So, that is why Prabhupada says, you have to hear from a bona fide representative of one of the four sampradayas. When you will hear from them, then he says, you will enjoy transcendental bliss. And I'm going to end with, when you have a bona fide spiritual master, what does he teach us? This is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us, right? He says, Brahmande Brahmite Kona Bhagya. Brahmande Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev. Guru Krishna Kripaya Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. When you meet this bona fide representative of the Lord, what does he do? He sows this bhakti lata each, the seed of bhakti in our heart. And now, of course, you'll have heard all this in the past, but I'll just tell you all very shortly, in quick. What do we have to do when this seed has been sown? You know, just like if you sow a seed of a plant, when it starts growing, for it to grow, first thing is you have to water it, correct? What is this watering process? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, chanting of the holy name. Chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Right? So, this is the first process. You have to water the plant. What happens when you chant? When we chant the holy names of the Lord, we develop inner contentment, inner happiness. When we develop this inner happiness, this inner contentment, then our attractions for these lower, you know, all this, because as we saw, envy, greed, pride, this is all the lower taste, they start going. This sense of insecurity then is gone, because now I'm so secure within. I'm taking shelter of Krishna, I've come back under the umbrella of Krishna, now I'm totally secure. And if that insecurity is not there, then as we saw, then why should I envy someone? I'm whatever Krishna wants. Mare Krishna, Rakhe Ke, Rakhe Krishna Mare. This is the real result of when we chant. Chanting. So first thing he says, one must chant, that is the watering of the Kapilata Beach. Then what is the next thing? We need good soil. If the soil is not fertile, if you are not using fertile soil, the plant won't grow. What is this fertile soil? It is the company of devotees, association. You have to be in the association of devotees who will keep you on track. If you're going too much to the left, they bring you to the right. If you're going, you know, just like in US we have these lanes when you're driving very fast. And when you're going too much to the right, I forget what they call they have on those lanes, on the each of the lines. When your car is going too much to the right, it will start, suddenly you'll start hearing tap, 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 tap. You understand you're going too much to the right, you have to come back to the left. This is association. When you're in company of devotees. And then what is the third thing? Now, when we grow a plant, you have this fear in a garden, in a farm, that animals are going to come and destroy these plants. Or in the house, you're fearful that, you know, birds may come and destroy it. So what do? You create a fence. What is this fence? It's called care. Care is a very important aspect in devotional life. Care in our relationships. Extending ourselves to take care of other devotees and other devotees taking care of us. We taking care of this Bhakti Lata Beach. How do we take care of this Bhakti Lata Beach? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, when you're watering the Bhakti Lata Beach, there will be other weeds that will come out. So we very carefully have to pluck out those weeds that are coming out. Because if you don't pluck out those weeds, they are going to suck in all the water and your Bhakti Lata Beach is going to dry out in a matter of time. Care, see, earth. And when we do these three things, when we chant, when we are always in the company of devotees and we are very careful, then these three C's naturally attract the fourth C. And what is the fourth C? The causeless mercy of Krishna. This mercy of Krishna, you cannot demand, you cannot force Krishna to give it. That's why it's called causeless. There is no cause. Krishna gives it whenever he wants to give. But when we do this, it attracts the attention of Krishna and it attracts the mercy of Krishna. Just like sunlight, this plant needs sunlight, correct? Do we have any control over the sunlight? No. We don't have any control. We're totally helpless. If the sun comes out, wonderful. We just thank the sun. If it doesn't come out, similarly, we have to wait patiently, expectantly, that someday we will get the mercy of the Lord. Until we don't get the mercy of the Lord, what do? Complain? No. In all situations, we are happy. We are thankful. That is what I said in the first part of the class, right? When these calamities come also, when these challenges may and will come, they'll still keep coming. The devotee does not complain, why me, Lord? Why is it happening to me? No. Amrish Maharaj didn't complain. Prithu Maharaj didn't complain. Prahlad Maharaj didn't complain. In our recent times, we see, you all must have heard about this devotee, Stoker Krishna Prabhu, who left his body in Mumbai a few years back in the Radha Gopinath temple. He wasn't complaining, why is Gopinath, Radha Gopinath, you doing this with me? I have served you so wonderfully. I was a brahmachari. I was serving my spiritual master so with so much devotion and dedication. And this is what I get. At the age of 30, I get a terminal cancer. I'm just married. I'm going to get a kid. And this is what happens to me. He had every reason to complain. He was not complaining. Rather, he was asking Krishna, why? Why has such mercy fallen upon me? What have I done that makes me worthy of this mercy? That in his last day, when he's leaving his body, try to understand, he's in the Radha Gopinath temple. There were thousands of devotees. We're not talking of hundreds. Thousands of devotees all over the temple chanting. It was Advaita Acharya's appearance day, I think, yes. And his spiritual master, his guru, holding his hand, and he leaves his body. As if to say, his guru is handing him over to Krishna. Krishna, please, he's my child, accept him. He didn't complain. He didn't ask why this is happening. He accepted. Prithu Maharaj accepted. 99, I'll do 99 years. No problem. This will happen when, in the second verse, what we are reading, when we, with humility, we accept a spiritual master, tadvidhi paripatena pariprashnena sevaya. When we serve, when we hear from a bona fide spiritual master, he brings us onto a higher platform. We get a higher understanding. And then all this lust, anger, greed, and we pride, illusion, all will go away naturally. We don't have to do anything. They just leave us. We cannot get free from it. They leave us. We'll get free from it. Natural. So that's why these two verses are very instructive, very beautiful verses. Of course, this pastime is going to happen in the following chapter, and I'm sure you all will hear much more and you all will get better understanding from the wonderful speakers who will be speaking in the future classes. But I would like to thank you all for giving me an opportunity to speak on these verses, more so for myself than for you all. And I just hope that whatever I shared with you all will be helpful to all of you all. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Rantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So, I don't know whether we have time. We'll take questions. I'll just leave it up to, I'm not sure who is driving the call. But if there's time to take calls, I'm available to take questions. But I'll just leave it up to the organizers.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai, this is Vinaya. Prabhuji, such a beautiful class, very, very Nityan class, and so many instructions, Prabhuji, so many instructions that you have given. Yes, Prabhu, we have to always remember that, that we should always be in association of devotees and we should not envious. And you gave the example of the diabetic person, how he have to, you know, always remember that he has some problem, he needs to be take care each and every minute in his life. So like that, we also have the problem of envious of others, or, you know, being forgetting of Krishna especially. So we should always, each and every second in our life, we should remember that we have this problem, we should rectify it by taking association of devotees. Very nice, Prabhu. And we have a time for questions. As long as you have time, we have time, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. If anybody have any question, please ask.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranams, Prabhuji. Am I audible?
Yes, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam.
Yes. Prabhuji, how do we rectify the anarthas, or how do we present forward the anarthas which we see in the leaders in our movement?
A good question. What I would suggest is that, and I'm talking from hardcore experience, see, we can just do the little bit that we can do. If we see, suppose we have a leader who apparently is, not doing what he's supposed to be doing, So the best that we can do is either approach the leader, explain, talk, discuss, or whoever is in the next level, bring it to their notice, and then we just wait for whoever is, you know, in charge of that situation to do. But we have to be very clear on one fact, that whatever comes out, it must be acceptable to us. This is exactly what Mitra Maharaj is teaching us over here. Because a lot of times we get caught up that whatever I am thinking, whatever I want to come out, if that doesn't happen, then no, it's not acceptable to me. That's not what Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us. I am a well-wisher of maybe the temple or of an organization or of a club or whatever it is, right? So I have a viewpoint, I feel that this should happen this way. But now if you see an example of Prithu Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj was 100% right that he should have been allowed to do the 100th yajna, correct? But he gave him. So sometimes for a higher cause, we have to compromise on lower principles. So we have to be very careful. We do our bit, okay, as responsible representatives of maybe a temple or of an organization of a club. I do my responsibility. I see something wrong, I go to the responsible person and tell him, look, I've seen this wrong happening and I hope y'all can take care of it. It all depends on what's my role, and I do it. We have to be careful that we don't want that it should come out how I want it to happen. That we have to be very careful. And that's where this whole tug of war literally comes in. If it doesn't happen my way, then it's my way or the highway. Prithu Maharaj didn't do that my way or highway. He gave him. It's all about how much we are ready to cooperate. This is what Prabhupada said, na? You all can show your love for me by how well you cooperate among yourselves. There will be differences, Prabhupada said. He didn't say there may be differences. He said there will be differences. That's the nature of this material world, that there will always be difference of opinions.
But I would just like you to stop here, Prabhuji. I would like to highlight one thing. One of the seniors told me that, Mataji, sometimes it so happens that we have different leaders with different temperaments, so we shouldn't highlight anything wrong. We should just accept the knowledge and walk out, because then if we keep doing that, we will be termed as a critic. So it's better to just the Prabhupada than to Krishna and move ahead. So is that the right approach?
You have to be very careful that if we are critical, it's a healthy criticism. That what I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to speak, what I'm trying to bring out is for the benefit, it's for the welfare. It's not just I'm criticizing for the sake of criticizing. Because Prabhupada said, what to talk of a leader, any individual you take, you will never get anybody who's 100% perfect. Always there will be 1, 2, 3, 4 downsides of everybody. So now the question is, am I going to look at the 4 or 5 downsides, or am I going to look at the 95 plus? That's the important thing. And the 5 things which are wrong, am I going to look at it in a healthy way? That can I help this person get over it, or I can just, you know, help him to get over it in some way? What's my contribution towards this problem, call it or whatever it is, you know? That's the important thing. I can approach this in a way that you better change or you're done, or I'm out of here, it's you or me. That's one way of approaching it. And another way is, you know, trying to help him. That's more important. And it all depends on what is my position also. Where am I in this whole picture? He's a leader. Okay, I don't know whoever he is. He's a prime minister or president. Where am I in this whole picture? Where am I on the ladder? See, there are a lot of things which have to be considered, you know. You have to consider all the bases. And then only we can, you know, I don't know, is it making sense, Mataji?
Yes, totally, totally. Only one point was that when you said that we see where we stand in the entire picture. So keeping that as the base, some senior devotee told me that, Mataji, it is better not to highlight, because what happens, then we have to see our position. Like, for example, if it's a vice president or some leader leading the congregation, wherein we know that things are not that right, we just need to go for the knowledge and come back. And we should just be happy that we gained some Sukruti and we got the association, and we should thank Prabhupada, and we should leave it to the seniors or leave it to the management But then I don't know if that if that's the right approach. I don't know. So just ask.
See, it's true what this devotee is saying. My whole point is that our contribution should be constructive. That's the important point. It should not be destructive contribution. Whether I'm criticizing, I'm glorifying, whatever I'm doing. Even when we glorify someone, we should be careful that my glorification is going to help this person. It should be constructive glorification. There can be destructive glorification also. You'll be surprised to hear. When we just glorify somebody just for, oh, Prabhu, you're singing, you know, don't do that. That's going to be detrimental for that person. That's destructive glorification. So in our total devotional life, not only in this instance, Mataji, but in general also, it should always be constructive. How this thought, word, action of mind will help a person, a situation, an institution to grow in their Krishna consciousness, to come closer to Krishna, that is important. At the end of the day, we have to analyze that what I'm doing, what I'm speaking, what are my thoughts, how it's going to help this person or this institution or this organization to come closer to Krishna. That is constructive. And destructive is, you know, you just keep, you will get 22 reasons to criticize, you know, even the president of India, president of US, everybody. So we have to be careful that our contribution is constructive. That's the important thing. That's very, very important. I hope that helps, Mataji, in your, it's somewhat
yes,
in your...
Yes, totally.
Yeah, I'm just talking
totally,
of the
principle. It's a fantastic answer. Yes,
I'm
totally.
Just talking of the principle because I, unless we don't know details and all, it's difficult, you know. But the principle is this, that our contribution should always be very constructive towards an individual, towards a group, towards an institution, towards a club, whatever it may be. Let's contribute constructively to society. Because destructive contribution is what all today's society is about. Wars are being fought. What to talk of anything else? Why? Because the whole mentality approach is destructive. It's not constructive.
Mm-hmm. I got the point here. Yeah. Very nicely explained. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, Prabhuji, Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, Prabhu. One question, Prabhuji. Mm-hmm. Prabhuji, like you are saying, you mentioned that Prithvi Maharaj accepted Brahma's instruction right away and he stopped the 100th Ashwamedha Yoga, Yajna. Mm-hmm. So can we say from the other point of view that was he not putting any constructive arguments why he has to stop? Because he was doing it for the favor of his public, right, Prabhu? So he could have discussed with Brahma so that he could have moved forward. And can we say, Prithvi Maharaj was weak-hearted in this case? Like, he just right away accepted the instruction without any discussion?
Good question. This question will get answered in the following chapter because I did not go through the whole episode of what is actually going to happen. I just give you the end part that Prithvi Maharaj accepted. But why he accepted, Brahmaji will give an explanation. Because Indra, the acts that Indra was performing was doing more damage to humanity than what Brahmaji thought the 100th yajna would help humanity. So he told him, stop it. He told him, stop it. It's better that you don't do the 100th yajna because this is going to create more damage to society. See, again this comes up, again constructive and destructive. Brahmaji was thinking in a very constructive way. He said, stop it, because you all will hear in the following chapters what all Indra was doing to stop Prithvi Maharaj from performing the 100th yajna. And you will be surprised. He was setting up literally a trend for human society, which human society will follow for generations and generations to come. And Brahmaji said that we won't be able to undo that. So that is going to cause more damage than what your 100th yajna will do. He evaluated both the situations and Brahmaji can do it better than us. And when he evaluated, he saw it's better to not do the 100th yajna. It will bring less gain than the damage that Indra is causing by stopping your 100th yajna. And when he explained this to Prithvi Maharaj, now Prithvi Maharaj did not consider his personal, you know, whatever you want to call it, ego, oh, I'm at 99 and you are stopping me. No. As the class started, what did we say? Prithu Maharaj was doing everything for the benefit of humanity. So he put himself back and he put Praja in the front. Try to understand this. This is so important. This is a very important principle. Prithu Maharaj put himself back. He said, no, I have to think of what is for the benefit of the Praja. And Brahmaji, what you're saying is right. My not doing this 100th Yajna, Brahmaji explained to him, you're not doing 100th Yajna, Vishnu will be pleased. Sam Siddhim Haritoshanam. So he said, oh, Vishnu will be pleased? Done. I don't want to do it. Because if Vishnu is pleased, everything will get taken care of. His 100th Yajna was also to please Vishnu, and he said, then whole Praja will be taken care of. He said, if Vishnu is pleased with 99 Yajna, I'm done. I don't want to do it. So we have to, and you'll understand it. It's a very valid question that you've asked. But as I said, I didn't go through the whole episode, all episode after episode. There's a whole chapter of that Prithu Maharaj performing 100 sacrifices. So when you'll go through it, you'll get clarity as to why Prithu Maharaj set back. It wasn't that Prithu Maharaj got scared or, you know, no. He was not pressurized. He understood. He had the understanding of the bigger picture. Does that make sense?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Nice class with a lot of specific details. Prabhuji, can I ask one more question? We have time for one more question.
See, I am available to answer questions. I don't know whoever is driving the program. Like, if you all have the time, I am available to answer as many questions. I don't have a problem.
Yeah. So, Prabhuji, one other question.
Prabhuji, I think you can go ahead and ask, and then if they want to wind up the class, they can always tell us. You can go ahead and ask, Prabhuji.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, one question. We are hearing so many nice instructions, Prabhu, but especially for my stand of point, I'm not seeing any platform to practice, Prabhu. Right? How do we practice, or how do we enhance these good qualities so that the bad ones, you know, evaporate or disappear?
See, that is what I spoke of, the three C's. These three C's are very foundational. You have to be in good association of devotees. You have to be chanting quality. Chanting quality, when we say, means actually taking shelter of Krishna. It's not mechanical. It's not that, it's not a question of completing my rounds, how much ever you may be chanting a round or two rounds or four rounds or eight rounds or 16 rounds. When I'm chanting, am I connecting to Krishna? So chanting, be in association of devotees. That's where we're going to get our strength from. Because if ekaki amar nahi payable harinam sankirtane, ekaki means akela, alone, we cannot. Prabhupada used to give the example, alone, you know, it's just like that thin stick, maya comes, chuk, she breaks it. But then we are in an association, we are a bundle of sticks, then it becomes difficult for maya to break us. So we have to be in strong association, and we have to be chanting. And the third C was careful, conscious all the time. At any given time, are we conscious? International Society for Krishna Consciousness, every thought, word, action of ours, before we talk, before we do, are we conscious of what we are doing? Is it helpful for my Krishna consciousness, or is it detrimental? Now, initially, that might be a challenge. You might say, oh, Prabhu, every time I can't sit and think, oh, should I do so? But gradually, over a period of time, it will become natural, where every thought, word, action of ours will be favorable to our Krishna consciousness. And then once we keep doing this, we just have to keep practicing. We are all practicing practitioners. Somebody like Prabhupada also, he never used to write, I'm a Siddha Purush. He is a Siddha Purush. What he used to write at the end? Aspiring devotee. We are all aspiring devotees. Real devotional service, bhakti, starts at a very higher level. Krishna says, right, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Shochati Na Kangshati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Labhate Param. Real bhakti starts at that platform. So, we have to keep trying, we have to keep doing, practicing, and then as I said, the fourth C, the causeless mercy of Krishna will come. Wait patiently. Rupa Goswami has given us three principles. Utsaha, with enthusiasm, practice this process. Don't practice it for the sake of practicing. Utsaha, and nishchaya means determination. I'm not giving up. Come what may, I'm not giving it up. And dhairya, have patience. Prabhupada said, when a woman is impregnated, she has to wait for 9 months. No science can, you know, catalyst it. Oh, okay, we are going to come up with something that in 3 months, no, it doesn't happen. It's 9 months, it's 9 months. You've got to wait. Patience is needed. So, dhairya, with patience. So, these three things are very important. Utsaha, with enthusiasm. Whatever you do in your devotional life, do it with enthusiasm. Dhairya, utsaha, nishchaya, with determination. And patience. And it's only a matter of time. It's only this one lifetime. One lifetime is how many years, my dear friend? 40, 50 years. For millions of lifetimes we've done nonsense and come, can't we invest just these 30, 40, 50 years? You know, I always quote this beautiful, whatever you want to call it, verse or teachings of Guru Nanak. So beautiful. He says, Bahut janam bichhre the Madhav. Madhav is Krishna. That Krishna, I've been separated for you for lifetimes. Bahut janam bichhre the Madhav. Now what I'm going to do? Eh janam tumhare lekhe. Lekhe ka matlab, I have written it. I have given this life to you. Only one life. Prabhupada used to say, put one life, gamble, give one life to Krishna and see what he does. It's a matter of only 30, 40, 50 years, my dear friend. Millions of lifetimes we have done, only God knows what. Brahmande Brahmite, that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just said, right? For lifetime we have been going up, down, up, down, up, down. Now, finally, we've got this opportunity. Utsaha, nishchaya, dhairya. Just keep these three principles in place and it's a matter of only time that you will experience. Does that make sense? Is it helpful? I'm hoping that it helps you in some way.
Yeah. Very nice, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for the details and the specific information, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions, or anybody wants to comment? I'm good to hearing also, and if not, then we can end the call.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Your enthusiasm is very contagious. That's wonderful. As you describe our utsaha nishchaya dhairya.
Thank you so much for including me, Prabhu, by those words.
I have an observation. Srila Prabhupada uses that analogy that we make a good building, but if there is a fault in the foundation, then although the building appears very fantastic and everything, but due to foundational fault, the ultimate result remains faulty. So in the same way, in our Krishna consciousness growth, certain things become like our second nature, which may not be the absolute result. Like Krishna, we know that this Krishna is the source of everything. Even when he is source, there is material energy and all the living entities, they are separated energy of Krishna, correct? Krishna's eternal realm, the Swarup Shakti, or the internal potency, is never separated from Krishna. But all the living entities, the Tatastha Shakti and the material energy, they are the separated energy of Krishna. And the Krishna, in this human form of life, gives us the opportunity to attain the shelter of the internal potency. And through the process of bhakti and following, coming in disciplined succession, we get this opportunity. So in your lecture you gave that the envy, the source of envy is the spiritual world. But this, the envy, as we know, that it does not exist in the spiritual world because there is no demoniac mentality and there is no preaching, because everybody is imbued with love with Krishna. And Lord Krishna gives us the proposal. He says that yad gatvana nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. Krishna is making us the offer to come to that realm from where nobody comes. that there is the message Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to suggest that in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, chapter 16, and text number 26, Srila Prabhupada concludes the purport with the words, so the conclusion is like that. So I'm very much impressed by your enthusiasm, and I just want to share, if you can read that purport, 3.16.26, then although Krishna is the source of everything, but the envy is the product we have been experiencing in this realm, not in the realm, the absolute realm. So that is my point. And Krishna is giving us the proposal to come to that realm from where nobody comes. So we have been coming and going up and down, as you said, towards the end. But we have to make it to that realm from where nobody comes. We have to only go there like that. So thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Prabhuji, I would just like to, it's a very good point you brought up that there is no envy in the spiritual world. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained it is Krishna bhuliya jeev bhogavancha kore pashate maya tade jhapotiya dhore. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that what happens is that we forget Krishna, Krishna bhuliya jeev bhogavancha kore. Means he develops this vancha, this desire to be the enjoyer. And this is what drops him from the spiritual world to the material world. Pashete maya tade jhapotiya dhore. Maya immediately catches him. So a lot of times Prabhupada was asked this question that what was the cause of the fall down of the jiva from the spiritual world? And there was a time when Prabhupada said that don't try to understand how you fell into the ocean. The important thing is first to get out of the ocean. In the ocean, if you try to analyze who pushed me, how did I get into the ocean, and now unless I don't understand that I'm not going to come out of the ocean, you'll die. So Prabhupada said, the realm that we are in right now, in the material realm, it's very difficult to understand what in the spiritual realm happened. And don't try to analyze that also. Your point is very valid, that yes, there is no envy in the spiritual world, there is only love. But what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us, that the moment this thought comes to the jiva, Krishna bhuliya jiva bhogavancha kore, that I want to enjoy just like Krishna is enjoying, immediately he falls. So what you're saying is right, the envy doesn't happen there. It's not in the spiritual world that people are envious. But as soon as the thought comes to this living entity that I want to enjoy as Krishna, pashete maya tade jhapotiya dhore, it's instantaneous. It's not that they wait and they decide, okay, what to do of this guy, you know, he's like opposite to Krishna, should we? No. It's explained that Pashyate, immediately you are then under the control of Maya. Because as we know, Jeevatma is always controlled. So he's going to be controlled by one of the two Mayas, the Yoga Maya or the Mahamaya. So it's just that the focus shifts from the Yoga Maya to Mahamaya. It's like that. But the point that you made is very valid. Yes, in the spiritual world there is no envy.
So the forgetfulness of Krishna is not the event of the spiritual world. That's what I try to say. So
that
all the examples...
teaches us that Krishna bhuliya ji bhogavancha kore. That as soon as the jiva forgets Krishna means what? Forgets the position of Krishna as being the enjoyer. And he wants to be the enjoyer. Krishna bhuliya ji bhogavancha kore. Vancha means desire. What does he desire? Bhoga. I want to be the enjoyer. Bhogavancha kore. Pashete maya. Maya is standing... It's the same Maya. She just changes from God to Mahamaya.
So this is the event of the material world, not of the spiritual world, Prabhu. Because the forgetfulness of Krishna is since eternity. You know? Since eternity.
I'm sorry, I didn't get loud, but the forgetfulness of Krishna is?
The forgetfulness of Krishna is since eternity for us.
It seems eternity,
and we don't have to sustain it for eternity. But in the spiritual world, the remembrance and love of Krishna is for eternity. So there is no question absolutely of forgetting Krishna in the spiritual world.
I have never heard that our forgetfulness of Krishna is eternal. I'm sorry, but I'm hearing it first time that our forgetfulness for Krishna is eternal. From everything Prabhupada, even, this forgetfulness even is what is keeping us in the material world. And the minute we come out of this forgetfulness, we wake up to the fact that, yes, we forgot Krishna's position, we get qualified to go back to the spiritual world. That's my understanding of Prabhupada's teachings.
Mm-hmm. That's why I say, read 316.26, Prabhupada gives the conclusion over this point. That's why
he says that forgetfulness of Krishna is eternal.
Since eternity, we are part of this material realm. Na?
Mm-hmm.
Our existence in the material world, so material energy is also separated energy of Krishna since eternity. And we, as the living entities, as the Tatastha energy, we are also separated energy of Krishna. And we don't complain. We have never complained. We have sustained this existence. We have been indirectly serving Krishna in His Srishti Leela. It's not that we are Swarupta, we are Nitya Krishna Das. So directly or indirectly, it's inevitable for us to not do service of Krishna. So we have been participating in Krishna's Srishti Leela since eternity. Krishna wants to give us the opportunity in human form of life, that you want to join me in my eternal, internal realm? Fine. If you not, then you can continue here. So our struggle in human form of life, and when we are given this opportunity to hear this this opportunity to attend Krishna in His personal association, then we work up to it. You know, we have yet to make to the spiritual world, because Krishna says, "Yad gatva na nivartante, tad dhama paramam mama." So Krishna is not saying that you come to that realm from where you came from. We are part of Krishna's creation. The material energy is also eternally existing. We are also eternally existing. We are as old as Krishna. We are not born just as Krishna is not born. We are also unborn. We are eternal. But our existence in this material realm, separated from Krishna since eternity, and we have the opportunity to attain the direct association of Krishna and settle there for eternity. So our existence since eternity in this material realm, but we can break away from it by Krishna's. It's like Krishna giving us the opportunity, hey, you have been doing this in the material world, but I want to offer you something. I want to show the magic of my yoga maya. That's why Krishna presents himself with his superlative attractive pastimes in the material realm, so that those of us who want to wake up to that higher reality, you know, we can join. And if we don't want to join, it doesn't affect Krishna. Krishna doesn't cry over us, that, oh, I'm offering you to come and join me, and why are you still there? Since eternity, we have chosen to feel comfortable right here. So that's why austerity and all these wonderful things which we develop in spiritual life, they are pushing us to break away from our second nature, which are conditional life. But those who are very determined to attain Krishna's direct association, we work up and say, yes, we will do all the troubles and all the austerity and try to transcendentalize our consciousness, so that we are granted, we become eligible by causeless mercy of Krishna and our Vaishnavas, that we attend the eternal realm. 316.26, if you can.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, do you have time? It's already 8 o'clock. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, do you have time?
Mataji, I know it's getting late for y'all also, right?
Yes, Prabhuji, it's already 8 o'clock.
Right. Mataji, I'm done with my part, and I'm so thankful to all of you all for giving me this opportunity to serve you all. Thank you very much. Vancha kalpataru
bhaktya kripa sindhu bhye vacha patitana pavani vaishnavibhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnav vrindi ki jai ramacharya shilanta prabhu ki jai his grace ramachandra prabhu ji ki jai thank you so much prabhu ji for such a beautiful class looking forward for your association in future prabhu ji thank you hare krishna
thank you everybody hare krishna